in Las Vegas, I had a chance to smoke the McAuliffe Blue. Now, I will tell you, I didn't know how to spell McAuliffe the first time I ever heard a cigar quite a few years ago. I shouldn't say quite a few. How about a few years ago? I didn't know anything about it. But then we got to sit and talk with them. We got to talk with Dan Thompson of McAuliffe and brought back for the show a couple of McAuliffe Blues, which is one of their newest cigars and is worth the conversation. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. This is the McAuliffe, M-I-C-A-L-L-E-F, the McAuliffe Blue we're doing as a Robusto. It's a 5x52, which means it's 5 inches long.
See?
Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 52, the diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around.
Tee.
Again, with the laughter. Mexican San Andreas Sumatra with a Habano Ecuadorian binder, Nicaraguan and Dominican in the filler. So you've got a cigar here, Mexican San Andreas, which of course we see a lot of cigars made with, that has that natural sweetness, but it's going to also, it should offer up a bit of a pepper hit. Much different than the black. The purpose here, because the McAuliffe Black, like, people raved about that cigar. This was something. This is a step back from that. Go a little more midline, go a little more complete medium, and try and be a little more flavorful than punch in the face. We just lit up this cigar, the McAuliffe Blue. Fingers Malloy, where are you at?
Well, how would you describe this? Is this more of a milk chocolate wrapper?
I would say that this is a little bit lighter than milk chocolate. There's a nice little bit of oil, but not oily, and super smooth. This wrapper, you know, sometimes you really feel the leaf. Sometimes you feel some grit, which is a feeling that I like. This is really smooth. You could see the leaf.
Yeah,
I just said smooth, not smooth. You could see the leaf, but you don't feel it. It's a very nice feel. And for a Robusto, 5x52, it feels good. Like there's something there.
Yeah, it really does have, I don't want to say quite heft, but it's definitely not a wiffle ball bat. It feels very good in the hand. We just lit this. And for me, you get that pepper that you would expect. I'm also getting a little bit of a creamy sweetness and maybe a hint of hay
or wood, like, because that can get confusing, right? How do you hay, wood, grass? How do you kind of denote those flavors? And you might need a little bit more time to figure that one out.
Well, that's why I said maybe. You know, Tony, I just noticed that on the retrohale.
You're an idiot. He discovered he could bring the smoke through the sinuses. And now he's like, hey, let me tell you about the retro. I still can't do it. Years I've been smoking cigars. I just cannot make it work right. You look like Puff the Magic Dragon. And I look like Puff, some street performer who isn't really good at his craft yet.
I was going to say Puff Daddy, but lately I don't think that that's an appropriate joke.
Nobody wants to be Diddy. Nobody wants to be. By the way, that's life advice. Nobody wants to be Diddy.
Who says that this show can't pivot from one topic to another? Cigar review, P. Diddy, cigar review.
There's just a whole story about the Tupac estate suing Drake. Have you heard this story?
No.
That Drake has a song, and supposedly it the lyrics are sung in a style of Tupac, and the Tupac estate is like, how dare you do that? And the song is supposed to be a diss of Kendrick Lamar. It is a crazy story. Tupac has been dead for almost 30 years, and he's still culturally relevant. That is nuts. Nuts. But anyway, back to the McAuliffe.
So to answer your question, though, I'm going to need a little bit more time. The first thing that popped in my head was hay. So
yeah, I think so. The cigar is not dry. Right. Sometimes you can think of salty and it's really kind of dry. That is not it. There is a generalized sweetness, but there is something that hits on the tongue, right? Middle of the tongue, front to back. Is that hay? Right. I think you're better off with hay than wood, because I think wood is a more robust kind of flavor. There's still a little more of a pungent kind of hit.
Yeah. And it's subtle. I'm getting much more of the pepper and the sweetness, but I feel like that hay note is there.
It is the McAuliffe Blue, the 5x52. Get out your notebooks. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? What is the weather like? We've got ourselves clear skies in Indianapolis, Indiana, as we record at Blend Bar Cigar, blendbarcigar.com, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, the Woodlands just outside of Houston. If you're in the area, stop by. Tell them Eat, Drink, Smoke says hello. And then break the cigar up into thirds. First third, second third, final third. What are you getting from each third? Write down the flavors that you're getting when you try the cigar a month from now or 6 months from now. You compare your notes. Get your through line. That's what you really thought of the cigar. That, what you're calling hay, which might for some come across as a touch bitter, isn't a bad thing.
No.
Because it is complemented by it's certainly not overwhelming. That's what lingers, but the sweet as you come in, the generalized sweetness, creaminess, right? It's not cookie, it's not graham cracker. I'm just going to go with the more generalized sweetness. Does come in, so there's a lovely bit of balance to the cigar, and lit it once. That, I mean, we just started in the first third, but that is a beautiful burn.
Yep,
right there. And this wrapper is a thicker wrapper for sure, which is going to, you can actually kind of like see how it's burning and be like, that's a very cool, great distinction between the wrapper and the ash on this. And the draw is just exceptional.
Oh yeah, very easy draw. My question for you is, do you tend to shy away from a Robusto? Maybe it's a little too short, doesn't give you quite the experience you want.
It is not my normal size. I prefer a Toro. I prefer a Churchill because I prefer to give myself the time to do the cigar. Robusto still amongst the, if not the most popular size in America. And it works, and it works for a lot of reasons. And it really works on price. Fingers Malloy, the McAuliffe Blue is what we're smoking. Is this in your humidor for $7 a stick?
Oh, stop it.
That's what makes this the most interesting.
Yeah.
We have smoked plenty of cigars that have some of these flavors at $13, $14, $15. $7 changes the game.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if, you know, we always champion the Buffalo 10 line on this show because you get great value from that line. You know, when we talked $7, $8 a stick, I don't remember off the top of my head if Buffalo 10 does a San Andreas, but this definitely, I think so far, and we're just in the first third, gives them a run for their money at that price point, doesn't it?
Yeah, the price point doesn't matter, and the Buffalo 10 is absolutely bang for the buck price wise, one of the best values that are out there. The Maduro on the Buffalo 10 is a Mexican San Andreas. They do a natural, they do a Connecticut, which has the natural, I think, has a Ecuadorian Habano a wrapper. But this cigar, as you get into that first third, and I think that hay part is going to subside a bit, you're going to be like, this just feels good. Good mouthfeel, good handfeel, good flavor. And I think McAuliffe has done an excellent job of a price-conscious, solid smoke here. The McAuliffe Blue. Eat, Drink, Smoke, Tony Katz, Fingers Malloy, and at the cigar show, the McAuliffe people. I had heard about McAuliffe. I'd seen McAuliffe around. I didn't know that was actually how you pronounce it. M-I-C-A-L-L-E-F. I mean, admittedly, that's just weird, but got to talk to Dan Thompson about what they're doing and check out that McAuliffe Blue.
You guys ask if I could juggle.
Right.
I'm not juggling these boxes, but I have something.
Dan Thompson cannot juggle film at 11. McAuliffe Cigars. I will admit, the first time I ever heard about you, I thought it was a spelling error.
Well, it's Maltese. And
is
it's
that
a
right?
Name that goes back to about 1050. That's the family crest that we're looking at.
No kidding.
1050.
So when did this become a brand? Because this went from, and this is something I heard about, to, oh, look, I see it, to a lot of places, a lot of tobacconists, a lot of shop owners now carrying this. When did this all start?
We're 7 years old. We came into the cigar industry at quite possibly the worst time to consider because the FDA was about to regulate it.
Right.
So we had to push in what are called predicates, which are pre-existing examples of cigars. And so we came in with McAuliffe cigars, which were our partners, the Gomez Sanchez, who live in our factory in Nicaragua. They had some cigar examples, no Toros, no Robustos, nothing the American market really loved. And we got started. The first couple years were some very difficult steps. Being new to the industry, Al McAuliffe was trying to navigate and figure out where a cigar company goes. I joined 2020 the McAuliffe family. The McAuliffe family has businesses in many different industries, and I operate their silicone manufacturing companies and the cigar manufacturing companies. And I give you a little background,
right?
Because then I brought Amanda McAuliffe in, who was out in Hollywood building movies and Instagram and very large social media before social media happened. And we said, let's rethink this brand.
Mm-hmm.
What are we really trying to drive? Do we want to be like a hobby, or do we want to like play to win? And winning in a family business is building something that's sustainable for multiple generations.
But it's interesting to talk about it as a family business, considering all the other things that you do. When people think of cigars in a family business, there's the farm. There's where they grow the tobacco, that it's been the third generation. They think of it as small. You're discussing it as business. The idea of play to win means grow, build, sell, develop, right?
Yeah.
So that sometimes
not necessarily sell. I want to be clear. We're not selling McAuliffe cigar, but we want to grow to where it is a positive part of the McAuliffe portfolio business.
I meant about selling cigars. I didn't mean selling the business.
Just, sometimes people hear that.
I hear you.
And they start the rumor mill. So.
I hear you.
But with that, it is a bit of a different conversation. And I don't think people understand that, even, you know, that there are small guys, but there are groups that do this. This is a business, and how you keep that family connection element in.
Let me help you with a distinguishing point.
Sure.
I think that there's industry's been built with many great families. Fuentes, Patron, you know, these are the big independent operators that you hear about. Previous generation, there was LaGloria, and there were different brands that have been bought by Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
So there are families who continue to operate in it. And then there's boutique brands. And when you do something boutique in our industry, it happens one of two ways. Primarily one way. That is, you work with a manufacturer that's already existing, like an AJ or a Plasencia, or one of those guys, and you build the brand for your cigar. You come up with how you want it to taste. And then you take that to market, and that's your cigar company. The person who's executing most famously and successfully on being a brand is Steve Socker right now. He doesn't have to own his factories. He knows where he's going. He knows his branding. He was in the industry for 25, 30 years. He's masterful what he's doing.
Steve was Drew Estate and was their master blender.
That's right.
Then went on to Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. And literally every day.
He's the sole owner of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust.
Yes.
So That's a masterful execution of the brand strategy. McAuliffe Cigars, we've taken the opposite strategy. Because we own other manufacturing companies, we feel very confident and competent in manufacturing. So we own our manufacturing facility in Esteli. Over the last 5 years, we have really reached in and developed farming relationships with local farmers across Nicaragua, four different regions. We work with a family that's named the Chirint family in the San Andreas Valley of Mexico, who are the preeminent provider of San Andreas tobacco. That's how we get our tobacco from the fields. Then we bring it to our factory and we process and cure it ourselves. And then it goes into our blending facilities, or our team manufacturers that test the quality of the cigars. Then we move back to the warehouse in Texas where we distribute.
What is the connection to McAuliffe, a price point connection? We want to be luxury at affordability.
I think the answer to that is yes. You know, I look at what Louis Vuitton or Hermes or LVMH, all these fantastic luxury houses do, and that's a 150-year journey to truly become that luxury pinnacle. In the cigar industry, the time frame's a little different. When we think about like maybe what Davidoff, Fuentes have done in terms of luxury, But what I think that we can do is that we can bring a luxury experience, even though our brand might not command that same price point, in a very pocket-friendly way for our guests to experience and love it. If that works, then we have a real bona fide cigar company, because it will drive the appropriate volume through our factory that will become a very sustainable and healthy business.
So now let's take a look at the industry writ large. We're seeing prices go up. We certainly talked during COVID that for a while there was a shortage on cellophane, there was a shortage on boxes, there was a shortage on the paste, if you will, so you're able to, you know, wrap the cigars properly. And now we're seeing inflationary pressures. We all discuss it. We're fully aware of this. And people are now, as opposed to the COVID boom, really questioning where their dollar goes. Is the industry matching that moment? Because I'm seeing prices go up. You're discussing being able to have a level of affordability. Is the industry, in your view, missing the moment? And are you trying to lead the industry in a new direction?
I certainly don't have the experience or level of prestige to correct any of my industry peers. What that means is, I don't know what they're doing. But my point of view, which I am responsible for our McAuliffe cigars and the brick and mortar family owned shops that we do business with, is to provide something that has price protection so that they don't find it online. A family can build their shop with our cigars, and we could sell to a consumer that appreciates affordability. It's a completely counter position to the rest of our peers in the industry.
Stan Thompson, this is McAuliffe Cigars. It's not spelled wrong. That's the way they spell it.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
So that's McAuliffe Cigars. I mean, Dan has personality and really seems to enjoy Dan, but they also make a pretty good cigar. That blue is worth trying. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke.
So Congress passes aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. This was a big, big fight inside Congress, House and Senate, because there were those who wanted to make sure that Ukraine got funding in the fight against Russia. But there were those who said, we need to take care of the southern border first. And this was the divide. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That right there is Fingers Malloy. Why are we bringing this up? Because this all leads to TikTok. Instead of pushing for border security first, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, states we have to, as Americans, we have to lead. And this means supporting these nations that need us. So he puts them up as separate pieces of legislation. Funding for Ukraine, which oddly enough is actually U.S. funding, because this was about making bullets. The vast majority of this is going to go to replenishing U.S. stockpiles of ammunition and providing money to those American companies that make the bullets and then sending bullets over to Ukraine. Money for Israel, money for Taiwan, three separate pieces of legislation, and then a fourth one on the southern border. Well, the three bills for the foreign funding passes, the one for the border doesn't, infuriating a lot of people. But in this legislation comes the divestment to TikTok. Hey, you have to sell. Now, TikTok is on the clock. ByteDance, the Chinese company affiliated with the Communist Chinese Party, this being the issue, of course, that owns TikTok, they have to sell it to somebody in the United States or they can't operate in the U.S. That's where we start the story.
Yeah, you summarized it very well. First of all, ByteDance,
that's the name of the company.
B-Y-T-E, dance.
B-Y-T-E, yes.
You don't want to Google B-I-T-E, dance. But ByteDance is the name of the company. And like you said, they have to sell 270 days. It's a deadline. They're threatening legal action. In a video posted to TikTok, company CEO Xiao Chu told users, rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. If this bill were to take effect, it puts the deadline for the sale at January 19th, 2025, well after the November election, Tony.
Well, shocking.
So, you got to believe that they're going to sue. to try to stop this?
Oh, absolutely. Because there's actually a pretty interesting question here. If you were to tell me there was legislation in place that says no company associated with the Communist Chinese Party can operate in the United States, then that would be something that could be applied. But I think that when you see this lawsuit that immediately will go to the Supreme Court, you're talking about a targeted piece of legislation to a specific company, not to a specific concept. And I don't know if that would be considered on the up and up. Now, I always find it weird when we talk about things that are constitutional regarding foreign entities, but I think that's going to be a big part of this conversation. The bigger part of this conversation is that what it seems that TikTok is saying is, we have no plans of selling. Well, there's it's a year from when this was signed, which was just the other day. And then the president can engage a 3-month extension. So let's call it 15 months for the sake of the argument. That's 12 plus three, by the way.
Oh.
12 months in a year, 3 months, 15 months. I did the math all by myself. If TikTok doesn't find a different buyer, they close up shop in the U.S. And they seem to be indicating that that's what they'll do. We're going to run like normal. Everything's fine. We're so great. The CEO put out a video that was, you know, look how wonderful we are. Look how terrific we are. Look how many people make money on our platform. What is America thinking? I thought this was the land of freedom. I thought this was the land of free expression. Oh, if you were looking for Communist Chinese Party 101 on propaganda, this was it. But the idea that they don't seem to be interested in selling, at least right now, they'd rather close up shop, is for a lot of people a very telling thing about what TikTok is doing. And the thing that they're allegedly doing is grabbing data from Americans. Then they're serving specific pieces of content meant to try and sway public opinion, content that they would never allow to be aired or presented in China on any social media at all. They seem to hyper serve in the direction of Americans and others.
This is such a fascinating story for several reasons. You just brought up one of them is, you know, they would mess with the algorithm. What was it, a couple of months ago? Maybe longer now because of how the news cycle hits you. There was a time where there were viral videos going around, and I believe it started at TikTok saying, you know, maybe that Osama bin Laden had a point.
Right. Oh, he wrote a letter. Did you ever read the Osama bin Laden letter? You mean the guy who orchestrated the murder of 3,000 Americans? Yeah, it's a super cool letter. You got to read it. He's got a lot of good points. I'm going to name my kid Osama and my dog and my goldfish.
Insane. So the Chinese are using this as a tool for evil in my mind in a lot of ways. But also, first of all, I saw 270 days. The first thing I thought of was, oh, gee, isn't that convenient that they are going to wait until after the election so everyone can use the platform in any way that they want to try to reach young voters, to just persuade them any way they can. But just if it were anybody else but the Chi-Coms, I'd be saying to myself, well, how can you set a deadline like that? Because what you're basically doing is, if you are forcing them to sell, they're never going to get true market value if there's a deadline. It says, 270 days. Well, it's 250 days. The clock is ticking. Here's my offer. And what if it's an American company that ends up buying TikTok? Then, of course, the accusations will be that you set the stage for an American company to buy one of the most popular social media platforms on the planet at a discounted price because you set this deadline. It's all weird, wild stuff, and it's you're right. It's going to probably go to the Supreme Court.
So Finger said two things that for some might actually pique ears. First, you referred to the Chinese, and then you referred to the Chi-Coms. Let us make sure that we're all on the same page. The people of China do not live a free life. The people of China live under a communist regime. Fingers and I come from the political world. Chi-Coms, meaning the Chinese Communist Party, is an absolutely acceptable term, without question or debate.
People are saying that that's not an acceptable term anymore?
The Communist Party is an issue. And to say otherwise is to not be honest. Let's also discuss the fact that there are businesses that make money off of TikTok. There are people that make money off of content creation. This isn't cut and dry. There are people who are really going to be financially impacted in a big way. We're talking about their whole living could be taken away. That is not lost on me, Fingers. I don't think it's lost on you either.
No,
but there's a bigger issue.
And I think Washington, D.C. has done a horrible job explaining to younger people why they believe that TikTok should be banned. I think this is going to really throw a lot of people for a loop, even though, you know, this story has been around for a while, that there was a movement to ban TikTok. But do you feel like politicians have done an adequate job explaining why that TikTok should be banned?
No, I don't believe they have. But the other side of that is it is amazing in younger generations, Gen Z, for example, they don't care that their data is taken. They don't care about any of that. This is also a generation that takes a look at the idea of a chip being implanted in your hand so you can pay for things. They're like, well, that's a cool idea. It'll make things so much easier. The entire concept of personal liberty, of privacy, of security seems to be completely evaporating. But then again, how do you explain this to a generation that every week gets a notification that somebody breached their information online? And here you could sign up for this credit detection service. It's free.
Yeah. And especially when they're also saying, well, what's the big deal of Facebook and Twitter and, well, not so much Twitter, but Facebook and
Name it.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. So what's the big deal?
It's all a big deal.
Of course.
But it certainly is a different deal when it is a party, the Communist Chinese Party, that is interested through every single initiative they have put forward to doing harm and damage to the United States. We're not talking about an American company that's acting in a way you feel is unscrupulous. We're talking about a nation that's interested in something far more dangerous. I am a rye guy. More than bourbon, and I like a good bourbon, I like a rye. There's something about that flavor profile that works for me more than anything else. Fingers Malloy is a bourbon guy, and a rye guy, a scotch guy, and a beer guy, and a what did you put in front of me? Okay, I'll take two. Guy. Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that is Fingers Malloy. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Today, we take a look from Sonoma Distilling, the straight rye whiskey made with cherrywood smoked malted barley. That's cherrywood smoked malted barley, Fingers Malloy.
What's with the hint of fruit rye we've been doing lately?
I don't know. I just had stuff in the liquor cabinet. I'm like, we haven't checked this out yet. Let's make it happen. Coming in at 93 proof, the people at Sonoma Distilling. It is a bit of a right on honey golden look right there in the Glencairn glass. That's the weird looking glass with the foot, and then it bows out and it comes back in. You can really get your nose in it. And can I just say, Fingers, we both did a rather generous pour for ourselves.
It happens. It's been a week.
Is that it? A bit of viscosity sticking to the glass, Fingers Malloy. And that is a gorgeous, but a bit muted nose.
Yeah, you got to get your nose
get in there a little bit. I was expecting something a little more pungent. You know, the idea of cherrywood smoked barley makes you think you're going to really get something that nose that's distinct and maybe with some punch. Little muted.
And I got to tell you, there is a little bit of cherry there, but no oak. Actually, it's leather.
See, I'm getting that. You might be right because there's a sweetness that comes in behind it that isn't that cherry flavoring. I first thought that was oak. My first nose was that is oaky, but I get what you're saying. It's a little thicker than that.
Yeah, it's very interesting on the nose. No ethanol alcohol on the nose at all, at least for me. Are you getting anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, there's, you know, it's alcohol.
Yeah.
But it's not like, ooh.
What was that again?
I that's how my grandmother used to say it when she was doing shots back in the day in the old country. Ooh.
I didn't know they made Fireball back then.
Ethel, gone too soon. Gone too soon. The cherrywood smoked rye, this is a straight rye, so we know that it is aged a minimum of 2 years in order to get the straight designation, straight rye whiskey. The question, Fingers Malloy, is, are you ready for this?
am I ready for this?
That was a very large pregnant pause.
I've been ready for this all week.
Fingers Malloy. This is from Sonoma Distilling, the straight rye whiskey made with cherry wood smoked, malted barley. He is doing what's known as the Kentucky Chew, moving it around the palate, taking the sip, moving around the palate, get a sense of the flavor. Sometimes you take two sips, the first one to set the taste buds, the second one to really get the flavors. Fingers, we're doing this neat, of course. We'll bring it to a cube or some cool water later. What do you got?
That cherry is there. There's a leather there, maybe a little bit of oak. And I got to tell you, a little bit of spice, but not the rye spice that I normally would expect from a rye. It's nice. It really is. And there's no not much of a sting, a little bit of warmth center chest, but
still going in, Fingers. The Cherrywood Smoked Rye from Sonoma Distilling, SonomaDistillingCompany.com. Here I go. I'm going in. Here I go.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish. The Saginaw Swish.
Oh, it's a little stronger than I thought. That is fruitier. There's a little bit of orange in there. I think the leather call is a really nice one.
Is there a little bit of vanilla on the finish?
I think it's nutty.
Mm.
It is actually, for weird, 93 proof, that is stronger than I thought it would be. I desperately want a cube.
Yeah.
Like there's a strength that's, I think I want to simmer down.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, almost a bit of a something that's unrefined. Like if it had more time in the barrel, maybe it would have mellowed or that flavor would have come to completion. It's weird. There are a couple of flavors in here, but I don't know yet if they're playing nicely, but I happen to like the flavors.
Yeah.
That's a dumb way to explain something. The flavors are there. The finish seems to have a little bit of vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
The finish is almost like vanilla cream.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're the rye guy. If I was just handed this to you.
This is also a smoked rye.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things happening here. This is not a traditional rye by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, there's no way. If you would have handed this to me and said, try this, I wouldn't have said to myself, well, that's a rye. No, I would not have either.
I would not have guessed that this is a rye at all. I would have gone in a very, very different direction. I would have assumed it was a whiskey, of course, or possibly some kind of bourbon. I would have gone that in the first direction. On this finish, there is a little bit more spice that is building up because it started as like that vanilla cream, and now, It's a bit more of the spice. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, to me, the cherry vanilla is there. That leather's there. And there is a spice, but not the spice that I typically associate with a rye. It's very nice.
It is nice, but I'm still thinking that on a cube, the Sonoma Distilling straight rye whiskey made with cherry wood smoked malted barley, I think that with a cube, I think it has an opportunity to be something fun. The question, Fingers Malloy, is it in your liquor cabinet from $45 to $50 a bottle? I won't know until I have it on a cube.
If you're asking me right now, I would say I would buy it. Would I seek it out? Would I go to my liquor store and say, hey, do you have this bottle? I don't think I would, but if in the proper mood going into a liquor store and I saw it, I think I may pick up a bottle.
But no part of this is your flavor profile. Is that the issue?
I just think, you know, $50, not that that's nowadays ridiculously expensive for a bottle of rye. I mean, there's just so much other things out there that I would grab first. But if I saw it and I was in a kind of a different kind of rye mood, I'd buy it. I wouldn't shy away from it. And I certainly wouldn't be upset if somebody handed me a bottle.
I wouldn't be upset if someone handed me a bottle of me or anything. I would say, hey, why, thank you. I appreciate the bottle. This from Sonoma Distilling. This is their straight rye whiskey made with cherry wood smoked malted barley. I haven't picked up the cigar yet, so I don't know how these two things are going to go. You had gotten a bit of leather from, we're smoking the McAuliffe Blue, and you had gotten a bit of leather. It could be that within that, some unique flavors do start mingling and works for you, but I'm convinced. It's one of those where sometimes we dread putting it on a cube. This is screaming for me to do it.
I'm indifferent. Look at how far we've come.
Do you really want to put it on the cube? Okay. Whatever. Yeah, wow. I'll do that.
So dead inside. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. I don't know how to say this, but Mother's Day is around the corner.
Can you believe that?
And the perfect gift for Mother's Day is Let's Go Bourbon and Let's Go Barbecue.
Can you believe that?
It's from us at Eat, Drink, Smoke. Tony Katz, Fingers Malloy. I'm Tony Katz. That's Fingers Malloy. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Let's Go Bourbon, the bourbon reader you've always needed. Let's Go Barbecue, recipes, tips, and tales from the pit. Available at amazon.com. Get your 382 copies today.
Today, because if I've said it once, I've said it once, Tony. If you're buying a book from Amazon, supplies are limited.
Let's go bourbon and let's go BBQ for Mother's Day, for Father's Day, for any day. My God, we are shameless. Fingers Malloy found a list, because he does love a good list, of the best Amazon Mother's Day gifts for 2024. These are 45 favorite affordable ideas. Like Let's Go Bourbon and Let's Go Barbecue, which you can get for $9.99.
I heard that was
actually... Are they $9.99?
Yes.
Okay.
They were number 46 and 47. They just missed the list.
That's terrible. I'm sorry I stepped on your joke right there. Here is the Grace and Stella Energizing Eye Masks. What the hell is an energizing eye mask?
See, what it does is you put it over your eyes, and not only does it help with crow's feet, and bags under your eyes, it energizes you.
So you're saying that mom has crow's feet and bags under her eyes.
Oh, look who she raised.
She has crow's feet and bags under her eyes. Then there's the Owala Free Sip Insulated Stainless Steel Water Bottle. I'm out. You have to do the rest of these.
Do you not realize that people today, Tony, don't want to drink water out of plastic bottles, so I'm told. So what they want to do is they want to get, remember the thermoflasks were a big deal for a hot second?
Oh, and then the Stanley Cups? But yes. Not the Stanley Cup.
No.
Cups from Stanley. Oh, yeah, they were the craze.
Yes. Well, now apparently.
I believe the expression would be the bee's knees.
Yeah.
Or the cat's meow.
23 Skidoo. Here is the free sip insulated stainless steel water bottle. It's easy to clean. It won't rust on you. And it's easy to clean.
So you got a gift for mom that she will have to then clean while she's cleaning everything else.
Yes, and it's only $33, Tony. It's a bargain.
The Stonewall Kitchen Blueberry Batter Bowl 5-piece gift set.
Say that 5 times fast.
No, mom does not want this. It's a bowl with blueberries painted on it. Then there's some Wild Maine blueberry jam, some Wild Maine blueberry syrup, and some farmhouse pancake and waffle mix. So you got mom a gift that she now has to make waffles and pancakes for the family. And then they're going to go, I don't like blueberries.
$65 for that.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't buy it. Let's scroll down a little bit. The Revlon One-Step Volumizer Enhanced 1.0 Hair Dryer and Hot Airbrush. I have to stop, Fingers.
Okay. Please do.
Do you think that's what mom wants?
Yes.
Mom wants a massage to be left alone. Can we discuss what mom really wants? You know what mom wants? A Harley. Mom wants a Harley. This is what mom wants.
But these aren't things that are on Amazon, Tony. As far as I know, you can't go to Amazon and say, I want a massage that I'm aware of. And can I ride there on my new Harley?
You can get a massager.
Yes.
You probably can't get the Harley. You probably could get the Harley, but maybe not necessarily affordable. Scroll down a bit, Fingers Malloy. Uh-huh.
Yes.
These affordable gifts for Mother's Day. The Keurig K-Express Single Serve K-Cup Pod Coffee Maker. Your mom needs her own coffee maker? The coffee maker for the house isn't enough?
Well, there are often arguments within families when it comes to the coffee maker, because some people only want a single cup, while other people in the family want two pitchers of coffee. They want two kegs of coffee that they can drink.
Right.
So there's a constant argument over, I don't want a whole pot. I just want a single cup. And so the mother will get that for apparently $70.
That seems high.
Yes.
Can I get one at Ollie's for like $4.99?
Yes, along with a carpet sample. And
garden hose. Then there is the Cool Mom Club coffee glass. It's a glass with a lid and a built-in straw, and it says Cool Mom Club. I dare you to buy that for your wife. I dare you to buy that for your wife.
I think the
fingers, I'm ordering it right now.
Okay,
for your wife.
Thank you. I think the first rule of being cool is if you advertise that you think you're cool, you aren't cool. Is that fair to say?
All I know is I'm buying this for her right now. I'm buying this for Mrs. Malloy.
Oh, $20 for a glass jar with a fake wood top. And
you do the next one. I have to log in. I have to log in. I have no time for you.
And a straw.
And no, wait, the key is in very 70s surfer font, it says Cool Mom Club. Oh, she's going to be really popular. And if she doesn't bring this everywhere she goes, I'm going to be extremely upset.
Well, what would pair well with that is a Parker Baby diaper backpack.
I guess it depends on the mom.
A Parker Baby diaper backpack. You could be the coolest mom watching a soccer game, reaching in for the sandwich bag full of Cheerios in a Parker Baby diaper backpack. Only $90, Tony.
I want the Parker Lewis diaper backpack, because Parker Lewis what?
Can't lose.
Can't lose. That's correct. That, kids, is not only old school TV, but also a Family Guy reference. Right there. And boom, order is placed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Order is placed. Mother's Day in the Malloy household is going to be rocking. I can't believe I just bought that piece of crap.
Did you really buy it?
Of course I did.
What is wrong
with you? Of course I, because if I don't see Mrs. Fingers Malloy rocking a Cool Mom Club mug, that gift is so embarrassing.
Yes.
That is so embarrassing. That is something your kid would make for you. You buy that for mom on Mother's Day. She has every reason to think that your brother is the favorite.
Can I speculate?
Can you speculate?
May I speculate for a second? I'm looking at the Cool Mom Club coffee glass.
One coming your way.
I'm thinking to myself, that will last three washes in the dishwasher before it's all mo clue.
Oh, that's what it'll
say.
Is that it?
That's what it'll say on the side.
Yeah, if you really love mom, you'll wash that thing by hand. You won't do it. So I'm going through the list here. Scroll down to the mother's and daughter's jewelry tray. This is a candy dish, ladies and gentlemen. It is a dish, and on it is imprinted, mothers and daughters never truly part. Maybe in distance, but never in heart. You gonna be all right, Fingers? You need a moment?
A little misty.
I'm buying this for her, too. I am buying this for Mrs. Malloy right now. And, it's on sale. It's 10% off. And done. Done.
I can't wait until I get a call from you saying, you know, my wife got to the front porch this morning and she had a mystery care package. And it's everything that I ordered for your wife.
No, it's not going to be a mystery. I'm showing up and I'm going to demand she open it in front of me. I ordered both. Oh, I'm going to get yelled at. The great cursive debate. You remember cursive. You were in school and you couldn't figure out how to do the F, because the F always came out super weird. Well, you at least knew what it was. Today's generation and multiple generations, they can't read it. They can't write it. I don't even know how they sign their name.
It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. What's the matter, Fingers?
Well, no, you bring up a good point about the cursive F. Because as you know, my name is Fingers Malloy.
It is.
And when we go to book signings for our books, Let's Go Barbecue and Let's Go Bourbon, which are both available on Amazon.com, I autograph the book Fingers Malloy, but I actually use a print version of the F, not the cursive version.
Wait, full disclosure, I do everything in block letters.
Yeah.
I write in block letters. I always have. Because my penmanship is awful. I don't know how people have beautiful penmanship. My mother, until the arthritis really kicked in, gorgeous penmanship, exceptional penmanship. I never had good penmanship, but I could do cursive and I could do it right now. And certainly we were taught it, and it was an important skill. No longer Fingers.
Well, and you get rusty really quickly. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm completely embarrassed on the rare occasion when I do have to fill out a check, because I may only pull out a pen and write something down once or twice a year because we're doing everything on our phones and on our computers. We're typing. I rarely write anything down. So my penmanship is horrible.
According to the author of a study who teaches neuropsychology at Norwegian University of Science and Technology, which I believe, Fingers, is where you got your master's.
Yeah, we're actually right next door to the Fingers Malloy Institutes for Institutes.
When writing by hand, most of the brain is active. This requires the brain to communicate between its active parts, which in turn puts the brain in a state that helps both children and adults learn more and remember better. This is the whole argument against AI as a tool for school, because you're not actually learning anything. And whatever happened to the idea that you read it and then you write it so you remember it both ways, right? There's a whole idea of how that kind of reinforces the learning. But there's this conversation about cursive has been a fight. You're talking about whether schools should be teaching it. California and New York have legislation that requires students age 6 to 12 to learn cursive writing. Do you have to learn how to do cursive, Fingers?
Yeah. I believe the school district...
No, I'm asking, should you have to learn?
Absolutely. Because it's not like... Especially if you have kids learn it a little bit older, it won't take you all that long to learn it. But, you know, there's a... In this story that we're referencing, there was a poll done by One Poll in 2021 that 70% of Americans struggle to read their colleagues' handwriting, while 45% claim they can't even make out their own. So going back to, you know, what I was discussing earlier, I mean, not that people write out checks much anymore, but you still may come to the point where you have to, you know, do basic adult things revolving around handwriting. And if you can't function that way, at the very least, it's embarrassing.
They make an absolutely wonderful argument. This is a piece from the New York Post. And this is, to me, the first argument that I may have ever come across where I'm like, okay, I get it. Cursive, being able to sign your name for legal documents, actually matters. It's printing your name is not signing your name. These are different things. But what about history? If you are to read documents from 1800s or 1700s, cursive, how people signed, how people wrote, how are you supposed to read these things if you don't know how to read these things? And what happens if these things are now lost to history because people don't know how to read what it is that's in front of them? And you of a certain age, I'm not going to say how old you are, but you know how old you are. You know, and I know, and your lower back pain knows, and that sound your knee makes, that knows as well. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying.
32.
You're 32, Fingers Malloy?
Yeah.
Don't look a day over whatever your real age is. We see this as, well, of course we know how to do this. But if you were never taught it, you don't know. And that's a real argument that the connection to history, to understanding the past, to understanding your rights, for example, famous writings, teachings, etc. Well, they've all been transcribed and they're available via AI. I'm sorry. I don't know if that argument truly holds, because that's going to be the response. It's all available via AI. I can ask the fantastic machine to read it to me, and all of a sudden we are really Wally, and we don't even have to move, and the food will just be shoved down our throats.
But you go back to...
That's a Wally reference.
I heard.
Wait, what was the other reference I had? I had another reference today.
Parker Lewis
reference. I mentioned beaches. Honestly, tell me we're not a cultural phenomenon. Eat, drink, smoke.
I do believe that when you talk about, say our founding documents, for example, don't you think that it's more compelling to read something and maybe it'll make these words stick with you a little bit more if you're reading them in cursive as it was shown on the document as opposed to just reading text on a computer screen?
You're having a conversation about what? About emotion almost, right? The idea of how it was originally written and to what that can evoke. And it's certainly different than seeing something just printed on a page as a translation.
But that emotion can draw a passion out of you that may turn your whole life into studying something else, you know, following a career path, where if everything is just sterile, that emotion is gone.
It's a good argument. This is a good argument, and I can see it. I do appreciate the very idea that schools, and my issue with education notwithstanding, are starting to look at other things of value. So, for example, we have for years had schools that were very focused on you have to have a second language. You got to take this many years of this language or that language or some foreign language. But we never once say you have to have 2 years of balancing a checkbook and learning how to do basic investing. We're wrong. We are focused on the wrong things. This idea, I think, is like a maneuver into possibly the right things, that these connections do have value. Being able to do the basic things that will better your life skills. Dumb to think of cursive as a life skill. It's not that. It's being able to communicate and understand what's being said to you.
Yeah,
but is what's important here.
I would agree with you. Well, first of all, on the education system. Secondly, I would agree with you that I'm okay with school districts adapting with the times and dropping some things that they don't feel are necessary in the 21st century, as long as there's a discussion as to what they're replacing that education with. Okay, you're taking away the ability for kids to learn how to write and read cursive. What are you replacing that time with? And is it valuable for children and help them develop into adults?
If that is the question every parent and every adult should be asking, because it is up to them to determine what the schools are actually putting into our kids' head. I think it's a very, very, that is a very cogent argument, Fingers Malloy. Look at you.
I'm Fingers Cogent Argument Malloy is what
That's what they call
me.
You. That's what they call you. We are drinking the Sonoma straight rye whiskey made with the cherrywood smoked malted barley, $45 to $50 a bottle. It's an interesting flavor. It's a fine flavor. I just wish it melded together. I think it needs a little more time in the barrel, personally. And smoking the McAuliffe Blue, we're doing this Robusto, this 5x52, the Mexican San Andreas Sumatra. This cigar is in my humidor. The McAuliffe Blue is absolutely in my humidor. It works, and it works very, very well. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. And don't forget to be a part of what we're building over there at Eat Drink Smoke Nation, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. This is Eat Drink Smoke.
Follow Eat Drink Smoke on social media, on Twitter at Go Eat Drink Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/eatdrinksmoke, and Instagram at Eat Drink Smoke Podcast.